Well, good evening. If you could turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, please. I thought I'd continue on from a message this morning that I spoke about. As you know, yesterday was Anzac Day. And did you know that World War I was supposed to be the war to end all wars? But sadly, this is not to be. Since World War I, we've had numerous wars around the world and they continue to rage today. But the Bible indicates that one day we'll have world peace, and world peace will be centred around the nation of Israel. Isaiah 2:4 says, "And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into ploughshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." Won't that be a great day when that day comes? One day, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, will bring peace to this world. Jesus Christ, our God, will set up his literal kingdom on this earth. Years ago, I got a glimpse of another kingdom. I was asked to do a funeral. The funeral was in a far-off place. It was in London. I was a pastor in Sydney, and so I was flown over to London, and I went to a church. I think its name was Harlington Baptist Church. And I conducted a funeral over there. While I was over in London, I got a few days where I was able to look around. And one of the places I came to was Buckingham Palace. And I remember there being with all the tourists on the outside and the big metal fence on the outside there. I could stick my camera through the fence and get a bit of a picture. But that fence kept me out. It kept me out of the kingdom. I could only have just a little look into the kingdom. I've been there twice actually, and the closest I got to the kingdom was I did a tour of the stables, and that's the only place commoners like myself, those from down under, get to see the palace. You get to see the stables, but I still enjoyed seeing the stables. It was great. I had no friends in the palace, and I had no rights to enter the royal kingdom. Now, if you know Buckingham Palace, it's right in the city of London. In the midst of that city sits a palace of tranquility, and it's on around about 40 acres of garden. There's another world within its walls, a kingdom which is only revealed in its fullest extent to those that are associated with royalty. That excluded me. You know, the Bible talks about another kingdom, a kingdom that will happen on earth when Jesus Christ comes. His kingdom will be shared with those that are associated with royalty, those that are associated with King Jesus. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light." The Bible indicates that Jesus is going to come to this earth and he's going to reign as King of Kings. His reign will be a fulfillment of what the angel Gabriel said to Mary at the announcement of the birth of Jesus. Luke 1:32, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ will reign from a throne on earth. Then Jesus will show the world what perfect royalty is. Jesus will show the world then what perfect government is. And Jesus will show the world then what perfect justice is. Not only will Jesus reign, but Jesus will restore this earth in the future kingdom. When God finished his work of creation in the beginning, it was a magnificent creation, but now it's in a mess. When Jesus comes, he will restore all of creation. Romans 8 verse 19 says, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Verse 21 says, "The creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." We are closer than ever in our history to the arrival of our King. Jesus said we would not know the hour nor the day of his return, but the Bible gives us a number of signs that would happen before he comes again. You'll find that in the Bible, humanity is primarily divided up to three groups of people. The three groups of people are the Jew, the Gentiles, and the church. The church, which is the bride of Christ. Paul mentions that in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 32. "Give no offence either to the Jews or to the Greeks," that's the Gentiles, "or to the church of God." The Old Testament prophets foretold that the Jewish nation would return to the land prior to his coming. If you go right back in the early chapters of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 12, you find that the Lord calls out Abraham for himself. And then you find that Abraham becomes the father of the Jewish nation. And if you examine the history of the Jewish nation, you'll find that God scattered them over the earth. Leviticus 26 verse 33 says, "I will scatter you among the nations and draw out a sword after you. Your land shall be desolate and your cities waste." Even though the nation was scattered amongst the nations, you'll also find that God in his word promised to return the nation of Israel to their land. There's going to be a regathering of God's people. Ezekiel 36:24 says, "For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." Jews from around the world are presently returning to the nation of Israel. They're going to the nation, going back home to their homeland, largely in unbelief. There are Jews, though, that have come to know Christ as Saviour. There's Messianic Jews. There are Jews witnessing to their own people in the land of Israel. But largely, the nation of Israel is returning to their land in unbelief. The latest population of Jews living in Israel, updated this month, April 2015, is that there is now over 6.2 million Jews living in Israel. In 1948, there was only 806,000 residents in the nation. The majority of Jews today are blinded to the fact that Jesus Christ was their Messiah that came and died for them. Paul wrote about the nation of Israel's blindness in Romans chapter 11. Romans 11 verse 1, Paul wrote, "I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew." There are Christians today that believe that God has left off now the nation of Israel and there's no more plan for the nation of Israel. They actually think that the church has become Israel. Romans 11:25 says, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them. When I take away their sins, concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers." God has a future for the nation of Israel. There's going to be a day when many in the nation of Israel will acknowledge the Lord Jesus as Saviour. They will do this in a time called the Great Tribulation. It'll be a time of great turmoil on this earth. And Jesus spoke of that time in Matthew chapter 24. Now, this is a future time. It's beyond our present time. I believe it could start any moment, the tribulation period. The rapture will take place first before the tribulation period begins. But Matthew 24 verse 7 says, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation." Now remember, he's talking to his disciples. He's talking to those that are Jews. "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." In the Old Testament, in the book of Zechariah, the Lord prophesies that he was going to pour out his spirit on the house of David. Zechariah 12 verse 10 says, "And I'll pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they have pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn." In the tribulation period, God is going to raise up the Jewish nation to preach the gospel, and there will be a turning of the nation to Christ. Revelation 7 verse 3 says, "And I heard the number of those who are sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed." God is going to use 144,000 to preach the gospel throughout the world. When Jesus returns at the second coming, the nation of Israel will already have acknowledged him as their Messiah. Revelation chapter 19 tells us that Jesus Christ will return to the earth visibly. He will return to fight his enemies at the Battle of Armageddon prior to setting up his kingdom. When Jesus returns, he'll come to earth with all his saints. That's both Old Testament and New Testament people in their resurrection bodies. Zechariah 14 verse 5 says, "Thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you." Jude 14 says, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all." Revelation 19 verse 11 says, "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war." Verse 19 says, "And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies, gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh." There's going to be a time in the tribulation where people are going to be asked to take the mark of the beast. And you can see now with all the setup that we have heading towards the cashless society, we're living in a society now in Australia where you can see that technology is way, way advanced for people to have a mark, where they won't be able to use cash to buy and sell, but they'll actually have to have a mark. After the Battle of Armageddon, Satan will be removed from the earth. The removal of Satan, you'll see that in Revelation 20 verse 1. "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So Satan is bound during the 1,000-year kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Jesus on this earth. No unsaved person from the tribulation period will enter the kingdom of Christ on earth. They will be judged there and then, and they'll be cast into the lake of fire. When Christ's earthly kingdom starts out, there will be two types of people. There will be saints on earth with resurrection bodies, that's Old Testament and New Testament saints, as well as those that have been martyred in the tribulation. those on the earth that trusted Christ and who survived the tribulation period, that's the second group, they will have earthly bodies that go into the kingdom. They will have children during that time that will populate the kingdom, and not all of their children will be saved, even when Christ is reigning on the earth. Christ will literally reign on this earth for 1,000 years. The time is known as the millennium. Christ and his saints will reign over the nations on the earth. At this time, God will fulfill his promises to Christ and to the nation of Israel. Psalm 2 verse 6 says, "Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the end of the earth for your possession.'" It will be a fulfillment of Luke 1:32. "He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." I also mentioned that there will be a restoration of nature in the millennial kingdom. You see that in the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 6 to 9. The curse of sin upon nature will be reversed, and it will be finally removed in the eternal state, Revelation 22, verse 3. Remember, in the Garden of Eden, prior to Adam's sin, there was perfect peace in the animal kingdom. There was no death. Animals did not kill each other. They were vegetarians. Genesis 1 verse 29, "And God said, 'See, I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. To every beast on the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food,' and it was so." So Adam and Eve, vegetarians, and so were the animals at that time. There's going to be a restoration of the animal kingdom. Isaiah 11 verse 6 says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb." Does that happen today? Normally the lamb dwells within the wolf after he's eaten it. "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." Verse 7 says, "The cow and the bear shall graze." What's unusual about that verse?
The bear grazing.
The bear grazing, that's right. "The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox." You don't see that at the circus. "The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Amos said in Amos 9:13, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the ploughman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed, the mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it." There's going to be great progress in the agricultural world in the millennial kingdom. Many people today are wondering, when will there ever be peace on earth? When will there ever be real environmental change? The answer is only when Jesus comes to rule and reign in his kingdom. "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection," the Bible says. "Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. If you're a born-again believer here this evening, you're going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years on this earth. Won't that be wonderful? That's before the eternal future. The tribulation period will happen after the rapture of the church. This is prior to the kingdom. And several signs were given by Jesus to show when the kingdom was near. It would be like the days of Noah and the days of Lot. In those days, the days of Noah, there was violence on the earth. In the days of Lot, there was homosexuality. Men ignored the preaching of Noah, and in both cases were oblivious to the judgment that was coming. Noah was taken into the safety of the ark, and Lot was snatched out of the city. Luke indicates a global disappearance of individuals. Luke 17:26 says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, but on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife." And then if you go down a little bit further to verse 34, it says, "I tell you, in that night there will be two in one bed. The one will be taken and the other will be left. Two will be grinding together. The one will be taken and the other left. Two men will be in the field. The one will be taken and the other left." And they answered and said to him, "Where, Lord?" So he said to them, "Wherever the body is there, the eagles will be gathered together." The Greek word for body there is the word soma. It can mean a living body. It can mean like a group of people, like the New Testament church. Wherever the body is, the eagles will be gathered together. Like eagles ascending, the rapture of the church will be salvation to believers and a sign when the kingdom is near to Israel. What about us? Well, I don't believe that we'll be going into the tribulation period if you've accepted Jesus as your Saviour. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 9 says, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." His kingdom is coming, and royalty will reign over all the earth. We will reign with Jesus if we know him as our Saviour. When I was in London, I got a small glimpse of the kingdom. When Jesus was on earth, his people got a small glimpse of the king that was going to come and the king that was going to rule over the nation of Israel, just as was promised by the angel. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure."